This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum
salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I just wanted to ask about the meaning of the hadith from Sahih Muslim. Ummatul Wahida. The Muslim Ummah is one Ummah at the exclusion of all others. Their land is one, their war is one, their peace is one, their trust is one. And is this hadith relevant to us Muslims living in a non-Muslim society, whose armies are killing Muslims, expelling them from their homes and fighting them as we speak?
The sister wants me to throw some light on the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad that the Muslim is one ummah, irrespective of whether you're living. And there are various hadith the Prophet said that it's like one body, and if one part of the body is hurt, then all the rest of the body is also in pain. So in that context, as far as the Muslim ummah is concerned, irrespective of whether you're living in a Muslim society or non-Muslim society, whether you're living in UK or America or Saudi Arabia, the Muslim ummah is one. And if one part of the ummah is hurt, it's a duty, as far as possible, whatever ability a person has got, he should see to it that he helps. So there are various situations. For example, if you know that there's one part of the Muslim ummah which is poor or doesn't have enough resources to feed themselves, it's the duty of the other part of the ummah to see to it that they give them, whether it be from zakat money or from sadqa money, whatever it is, so that they help the other part of the Muslim ummah. Now we know the scenario is such that we find that certain portion of the Muslim ummah, they are being attacked, they are being harmed. So whatever capacity we have and whatever ability we have got, it is a duty that we as Muslims, as our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if you find anything evil, the best is to stop it with your hand. If you cannot stop it with the hand, then stop it with the tongue. If you cannot stop with the tongue, the least you can do is curse in your heart. And then if you do that, you are the lowest level of a Muslim. So when you see anything wrong, if you can stop it with the hand, do it. If you cannot stop with your hand, then try and stop it with the tongue. If you can't do that, at least curse in your heart. If you find something is happening, maybe a robbery is taking place, if Allah has given you the ability, go and stop with your hand. If you feel that the person, they have got more strength, you are a lean person and there are 10 of them, at least try and stop with your tongue. Please, mister, don't rob. If you can't do that, at least curse in your heart. Now, depending upon the ability that we have got, we have to do that. Now we find, unfortunately, that the scenario that we have, that especially after 9/11, we know that what happened in 9/11 was wrong. Allah clearly mentioned in Surah Maidah, chapter 5, verse number 32, that if anyone kills any other human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, unless it be for murder or for creating corruption in the land, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. So killing any innocent human being is haram. So what happened in 9/11? More than 3,000 or 5,000 people were killed, innocent people, it is to be condemned. Who did it? I don't know. The media says X, Y, Z, I don't know. But whoever did it, it is wrong. What happened in London on the 7th of July, where more than 50 people were killed, innocent human being, it is to be condemned. Whoever did it is at fault. It is wrong. But what we have to realize, that unfortunately, when Muslims live in non-Muslim society, they try to be over-apologetic. We find in America, we find in UK, all the Muslim body get together and they condemned the 9/11. Correct? No problem. They condemned what happened on the 7th of July in London, which I do condemn. But in the same breath, we also have to condemn the thousands of people killed in Afghanistan. We also have to condemn... We also have to condemn the thousands of people killed in Iraq. What's happening in Palestine? Every day, Muslims are being killed. What happened in Bosnia? We have to condemn that too. Why do we stop? Unfortunately, when I read reports, all the Muslim bodies get together and they're condemning only part of it. Why? It's the same. What is wrong is wrong. If a Muslim kills an innocent human being, he has to be condemned. Similarly, if a non-Muslim kills an innocent Muslim, even he has to be condemned. Who are we afraid of? But you have to do it with hikmah. If you fear that you opening your mouth will create a problem, but don't mention wrong things. Therefore, as a da'i, we should know how to turn the tables over with hikmah. So what we have to realize, that what is wrong, we have to condemn. And believe me, I've been to America several times, in USA, in Canada, I've been to UK. The thing is that if you realize what a talk I gave on Islam and terrorism, in Oldham, that was the topic, what we have to realize that many a times, two different labels are given for the same activity of the same individual. For example, in India, there were many Indians who were fighting for the freedom about 60, 70 years back, when the British were ruling India. Now, these people who fought for the freedom by the British government, they were called as terrorists. But we common Indians, we call them as freedom fighters. Same people, same activity, but two different labels. If you agree with the view of the British government that they had a right to rule over India, you have to call these people as terrorists. But if you agree with the view of the common Indians that the Britishers came to India to do business, they have no right to rule over us, then you would call these people as freedom fighters, you would call these people as patriots. Same people, same activity, but two different labels. So before you give a label, you have to first try and find out for what reason is the person striving. If you see the history of American Revolution in the 18th century, in 1775, the Americans got their freedom, the Britishers were ruling them. And the two people who were called number one terrorist was Benjamin Franklin, George Washington. According to this British government, George Washington was terrorist number one. And later on, this same terrorist number one becomes the president of America. Imagine, terrorist number one, according to British government, becomes the president of America. And he happens to be the godfather of all the American presidents to follow, including George Bush. So what we see today is whoever is in power, what he says carries weight. We can give an example of the apartheid government of South Africa, white apartheid government. They imprisoned Nelson Mandela for 25 years. They called him terrorist number one. After the apartheid government was removed in the new South Africa, Nelson Mandela became the president. A few years later, he gets the Nobel Prize for Peace. Imagine the person who was called terrorist number one is given the Nobel Prize for Peace for the same activity. Not that first he was bad and then he became good. For the same activity for which he was called a terrorist, later on he gets the Nobel Prize for Peace. What we come to know, whoever is in power, what he says turns out to be the gospel truth, which is not the case. So what we have to know, we have to go to the root cause. So we as Muslims, what we have to do, sister, is we have to speak for the haq. So if Allah has given you the power, with your hand you can stop it, do it. With your mouth, do it with the mouth. Least you can do is curse in your heart and pray for the ummah. Hope that answers the question.